Let the games begin, and sporty Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. South America's first ever Olympics officially begin later Friday night in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Joining us now with a preview of the opening ceremony is our friend in Rio, Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis!
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. The Rio 2016 Open Ceremony begins today, 8 p.m. local time at Maracanã. This will be the first time in history that the opening ceremony does not take place in an Olympic stadium. According to the creative team in a press meeting yesterday, it will be heavy on history and environmentalism. Fernando Meirelles, Oscar-nominated Best Director in 2004 with Seed of God, said, and I quote, "We will show how people of Brazil was created the way we are. Also because the entire world experienced too much tension these days, we will propose we all must seek our like and celebrate diversity. Finally, we want to propose a peace to the planet. We cannot continue to destroy it. This is the only house we all have to share." Another member of the team, the director Daniela Thomas, said that due to low budget, the production was made using bootstrapping and jerry-rigged way-outs, a combination of lots of music, dance, costumes, and special effects. The program is still a surprise, but after 3 years of developments, is set to last more than 3 hours. With more than 35,000 professionals involved on the show, featuring 12 samba schools and dozens of Brazilian singers, including icons of the MPB, popular Brazilian music, Caetano Veloso and Gilberto Gil. The legendary Pelé was the chosen one to light up the Olympic torch, followed by several Brazilian Olympic gold medalists. Nearly 100,000 soldiers will make the security of the Olympics. Several areas of the city will be restricted to the Olympics activities, and the mayor recommended strongly that the citizens of Rio avoid circulating. Now, the true sport size of all this, the soccer male competition had a kickoff yesterday. A friend of this reporter came all the way from Hawaii in July, and before taking his kids back to States till they return to school, he managed to watch at least Iraq versus Denmark and Brazil play South Africa, but he did not see nets shaking. Both 0-0 in Brasilia. In Rio, Portugal beat Argentina 2-0. Honduras scored 3 times against Argel 2. Germany and Mexico, strong candidates for the gold, fought hard each other until the last minutes, 2-2. Sweden and Colombia also 2-2. Now, here the nets really shake. Nigeria and Japan 5-4. And South Korea scored 8 times in the nets of the newcomer to the Olympics, Fiji, 0.
I can look into the eyes of these athletes because I have a very clean conscience. I know that not only I, but also the executive board members all have weighed all these arguments very carefully. We also know that we have the support of many athletes. We have the support of the three continental athletes associations, that we have the support of the World Olympians associations.
Last minute breaking news. The Russians are arriving. 271 athletes were authorized to compete. Quite a representation after so much threatening to be entirely banned from the party. Let the games begin. I'm Luis Piazzet for the Sony Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
Luis mentioned how the nets were really shaking in Thursday's Nigeria-Japan Olympic men's football match in Manaus, Brazil. The Nigerian boys arrived in Manaus only about 6 hours before the game because of travel problems. They showed a lot of fighting spirit, though, and prevailed 5-4. And let's give a sunny side of sports shout-out to Nigeria's Etebo Ogenekaro, who scored four, count them, four goals against Japan. The 20-year-old Etebo is based in Portugal with the club Firenze. And don't forget, VOA Olympic fans, Nigeria won the gold medal in men's football at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, as well as a silver medal at the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. In the build-up to the 2016 Rio Olympics, much of the attention is focused not on the athletes, but on health concerns. The threat from the Zika virus has topped the list, but pollution also poses a risk. My VOA colleague Joe DiCapua tells us more.
Athletes train long and hard to compete in the Olympics. They know who their toughest competitors are and what it will take to win a medal. What they don't know is how much of a health risk they face in the Brazilian city. It's usually not something to worry about at the modern games. Among those monitoring conditions in Rio is Dr. Stephen Gluckman. He's a professor of infectious diseases and medical director at Penn Global Medicine, part of the University of Pennsylvania health system. He says Zika, like other diseases, has raised fear among many people.
There have been certainly other epidemic diseases that have generated an incredible amount of angst, even going back to our region, Legionnaire's disease in the 70s, and then HIV obviously generated angst well beyond the medical implications in terms of contagiousness early on. Oh, Ebola, too, I think got a lot of people's attention for fear of what it represented for spreading beyond where it was.
What's unique about Zika, he says, is that it's become part of the Olympic story this year. People are traveling to where the disease is.
More often than not, people are trying to go the other way.
So how dangerous is Zika? Dr. Gluckman says
about 80% of people have no symptoms at all, and then the people that get symptoms, the symptoms themselves are really expected to be quite mild. It's a relatively unpleasant 5 to 7 day illness, but nothing of significance.
However, one of the possible complications from Zika infection is Guillain-Barré syndrome. It attacks the nervous system and can cause partial paralysis. But Gluckman says that's not the complication that has caused the most fear.
What makes this a particularly volatile problem is this pregnancy connection. When women are pregnant, they're anxious about outcomes, always. It's just normal. Well, the husbands are too.
Microcephaly can cause abnormally small heads in infants, but Zika can lead to many other physical and developmental problems. But while this may happen to a relatively small number of babies, its impact has been huge. He says what's been lost in the controversy over Zika has been possible infection by other diseases carried by the same Aedes aegypti mosquito, namely chikungunya and dengue.
Chikungunya is a much bigger risk overall than Zika, and it spread like wildfire in the Caribbean, but most of my patients have never heard of it. It's because of the lack of this pregnancy association. Several million people that have gotten chikungunya in the Caribbean. It's amazing how few people have heard of it. Dengue is also throughout there. It's much less common, but it is potentially to be the most severe of all of the diseases. People can die of dengue. You wouldn't die of chikungunya, and certainly you don't die of Zika.
Dr. Gluckman says individuals in Rio and elsewhere can do a lot to prevent a mosquito bite, which in the case of the Aedes aegypti happens during the day.
People should be applying a good insect repellent. That would be either 25 to 30% DEET. DEET's the active ingredient in a number of them, or 20% picardin. That's the other active chemical. In addition, long sleeves and long pants. One can spray one's clothes with an insecticide called permethrin. That's sort of almost like magic. You spray it on, and it lasts multiple weeks through multiple washings.
But the infectious disease expert says the biggest health risk in Rio comes from pollution, raw sewage. Human waste from millions of Rio's residents flows directly into the waters off the city's beautiful beaches. And lots of athletes will be swimming in or sailing or rowing on that water.
Stay out of the water. I mean, you got to be nuts. And I wasn't kidding. It's a way bigger potential health risk than Zika, although it won't lead to fetal malformations. But you're much more likely to get sick from the water than you are from a mosquito bite down there.
According to tests conducted by the Associated Press, athletes who swallow just 3 teaspoons of polluted water are almost certain to be infected with viruses. These can and have caused intestinal and breathing problems.
Apparently, this water is particularly loaded with a virus called adenovirus. But you can get E. coli infections, you can get typhoid fever. Anything that people have in their feces can get into the water there.
Depending on what germs a person swallows, it can take anywhere from 3 days to 2 weeks to show symptoms. Dehydration is one of the major problems these bacteria and viruses can cause. Dr. Gluckman says being in great shape, as Olympic athletes are, will not protect them from mosquito bites or swallowing sewage. But Rio faces other problems too, including terrorist threats, gang violence, and debt. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Joe. The Voice of America's Learning English Department is covering the Rio Olympics. And joining us now from Learning English is Dan Friedel. Sporty Olympic greetings, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. Nice to be back in the studio with you.
Nice to have you back, Dan. What Olympic storylines are you following in Rio?
So, reminder to our listeners who might not be perfectly proficient in English if they want to improve their vocabulary or get some easier to understand Olympic stories, they should definitely go to VOA's Learning English website, which is learningenglish.voanews.com. We'll be following along with the Olympics for the next 2 weeks, just like everybody else, and trying to keep our readers up to date on the big news of the day. We do have an Olympic preview story out right now that does cover some of the same issues that Joe's story that we just heard discusses about the some of the health concerns that the athletes will be facing in Rio. We also take a look at some of the Olympic teams that are favored to do well in this year's games. One of the big stories leading up to tonight's opening ceremony was how many Russian athletes would be allowed to compete. And it looks like about 100 fewer Russian athletes than the Russian team was hoping are approved to compete in Rio. Which should give the United States, Great Britain, China, some of those countries that are in the top five historically of the medal table, a chance to do well in this Olympics.
Dan, I know Olympic fans have favorite sports that they like to follow during the games. What are some of the new sports we're going to see in Rio?
So one of the sports that's gotten attention recently, more for the athletes who will not be in attendance, is golf. As we all know, the PGA event was moved up a little bit earlier in the summer, so the athletes would be free to attend the games in Rio. But it turns out that some of the best golfers in the world, like Rory McIlroy, are not going to be in Brazil for the golf tournament. One of the other sports that's pretty interesting, and I was just watching some YouTube videos this morning, is rugby sevens. Rugby sevens is kind of a condensed version of the big rugby game that we're used to seeing on the huge American football-style field. Rugby sevens is played with 7 players on each team, 2 7-minute halves, and most of the teams play about 2 games per day, so it's a pretty fast-moving sport. The favorites for the rugby sevens tournament for the men's side is Fiji, followed by South Africa. And then on the women's tournament, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, with Australia being the clear favorite, are some of the top teams in rugby sevens. So fast-paced action on the field.
Dan, one of the most popular Olympic sports in terms of viewing audience here in the United States is gymnastics, both men and women. USA Gymnastics facing kind of a cloud ahead of the opening ceremony.
So every 4 years at the Olympics, women's gymnastics in particular is one of the most popular sports on television. If you go back to the 80s, you have people like Mary Lou Retton, who captured America's hearts in the Olympic gymnastics competition. But kind of a darker story came out in the news in the U.S. yesterday. A couple of major news organizations, the Indianapolis Star, being the hometown newspaper of USA Gymnastics, which is based in Indianapolis, came out with a story that says for decades, USA Gymnastics, which is a huge organization, over 100,000 members, including athletes and coaches and facilities, are part of USA Gymnastics. And allegations that for decades, USA Gymnastics has not been following through with reports of sexual abuse between coaches and the athletes that they are mentoring. It's a pretty sad story leading into what is the highlight of every 4 years for this organization. So it'll be interesting to see how perhaps that affects the performance of the team in Rio.
In terms of men's football performances, Dan, I got to tip my cap to Nigeria for their big 5-4 victory over Japan on Thursday in Manaus, Brazil. A lot of question marks about the Nigerian team ahead of that match simply because of their travel schedule. They arrive in Manaus just hours before the game. And talk about a thrilling game, 5-4, 9 goals. Your thoughts on the Nigerian boys?
That sounds like one of the games I play at home when I'm playing my PlayStation. The most important thing about that is that the Nigerian team didn't let their travel problems affect their performance on the field. If they had lost, they might have, you know, snowballed into a tough Olympic tournament. But seeing them come out on top makes me optimistic about their chances going forward. I wanted to mention one other quick thing. It's not an official Olympic sport, but Pokemon catching is a big deal.
What is that?
Pokemon catching is a big deal in the Olympic Park these days. One of the fun stories leading into this opening ceremonies was that the top men's gymnast in the world, Kohei Uchimura from Japan, racked up a $5,000 phone bill because he was on his mobile phone for days trying to catch Pokemon in Brazil. And unfortunately, the joke was on him in a way because they actually hadn't officially launched the game yet until yesterday. And he was using all of his mobile data charges looking for Pokemon characters that weren't even there. The big story, though, is that he was able to negotiate a smaller payment from his mobile phone provider, so it's not going to be as much of a handicap for his bank account after the games.
Dan, how about some quick thoughts on Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian in history? He'll be the official flag bearer for the United States at the opening ceremony. Do you see him as kind of a mentor at this stage to the other American Olympians?
Well, you know, Michael Phelps started off as a very young Olympian, and now he's kind of like the grandfather for some of the young Olympians on the U.S. team. He's been through it all. I mean, he's gone from being this Olympic hero to having some out-of-the-pool troubles in his personal life during the non-Olympic years. And this is a chance for him to go out on top. I think everybody will be interested to see how he does. As one of these remarkable Olympic athletes in history, he'll be the flag bearer for the Olympic team tonight, the U.S. team, which is a pretty big deal. As far as I read, he has not marched in the opening ceremony ever before because one of his signature events was always in the first day of competition. So he was always resting during the opening ceremony. So this will be a chance for him in what would surely be his final Olympics to get a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. And once again, Dan, if they want to check out your Learning English Olympic stories, what is the address?
Learningenglish.voanews.com. And you can check our podcast on the streaming aspects of VOA's main site. We hope to have a lot of people following us for Olympic updates as the next 2 weeks continue.
Thank you, Dan. Stick around, because joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty Olympic greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. The day is finally here. We've made it.
We have made it. Did you catch Pokemon, by the way?
No, I haven't been. I haven't been catching any Pokemon, but I have been checking up on the Olympics on the social media, and there's a lot to talk about in the short time we have left. We'll start with some of the hashtags. This is actually pretty cool. For the first time, or the, I guess the you know the largest amount of emojis that they're going to be releasing. In the past, Twitter has released emojis for different hashtags that pop up when you use that hashtag. Well, for this Olympics, they're releasing over 260 different emojis that will pop up when you use certain hashtags for each of the teams that will be participating. So you use hashtag USA, you get a little American flag. You use the different country codes. And for the 50 athletic events, so if you put hashtag athletics, you get a little runner that pops up. And for all the medals as well. So over 260 of those that you can use on Twitter as the games unfold. Something that was very interesting was Uganda, hashtag UGA. The Ugandan flag pops up. Well, hashtag UGA is also used by the University of Georgia here in the United States. So a lot of fans talking about their preseason football were very surprised to see the Ugandan flag pop up. So there was a little bit of a concern with those fans about that. But that's one way people can follow along with those hashtags and with those emojis. One way that they can't follow along is with GIFs, specifically from the journalists that are there in Rio covering the Olympics. The Olympic committee has come out and said you cannot use any GIFs, videos, or anything from any of the games. So I don't know if you remember from London 2012, you had Ali Raisman, who had the kind of pout on her face when she got second and got silver, and it became kind of a meme. Well, we might not be able to see any of those moments from the journalists, at least, that are there, because the Olympic committee is saying that infringes on their images that they use. They've been pretty strict about that, but this is the first time they've gone to social media and say no short videos, no GIFs, nothing like that.
Andrew, in terms of social media, do you see Twitter and Facebook kind of spiking during the opening ceremony, or maybe when the competition gets into full swing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's hashtag opening ceremonies already trending around the world, and then you have hashtag Rio 2016, hashtag Olympics. So all of these different hashtags are going to be trending throughout the 2.5 weeks. And as I mentioned with the 50 events, you're going to see those spike when the athletic competitions are going on, or when the swimming competitions are going on, or the gymnastics. So you'll see those different hashtags going to fluctuate throughout.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, what else is Olympic trending out there?
Well, we'll talk about two Olympians, one past and one current Olympian, that are trending. The first is Pele. Pele has announced that due to poor health, he will not be lighting the cauldron tonight in Rio. And so that's taken a lot of people by surprise. They thought for sure, you know, he's this huge Brazilian sports star, that he would be there to do the honors. And very sad that he won't be able to be there to light that cauldron. A lot of unhappy fans on social media, but a lot of fans hoping that he gets well soon. Maybe by the closing ceremonies, he can make an appearance. The current Olympian that's trending is Ning Zitao. He's a Chinese swimmer, and he's become, I guess, the first Olympic winner, even before the medals have handed out, because social media has just taken with him and run with it on social media about how handsome he is. He's got that swimmer's body with all the muscles and everything. So there are millions, if not billions, of women around the world that are sharing pictures of him on social media. He's become kind of the first star of the Olympics.
Olympic swooning, I think they call it.
Yes, yes. In fact, one tweet I saw, one woman said, you know, I thought I had to just deal with, you know, the other billion people in China that were competing to get his love, and now I realize I have to compete with the entire world. So he's, like I said, already become the star of the Olympics. Lots of sharing of his photos and things. And then we're just seeing from other athletes, too, the celebrations before the opening ceremony. The Ghanaian team had a great dance party where they were going back and forth, and a lot of the athletes just having downtime, joking around. So it's a lot of fun beforehand.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again on Monday. And that wraps up the August 5th Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chung. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The international community is facing a formidable challenge in the Lake Chad Basin region in defeating the terror group Boko Haram, while at the same time helping those whose lives have been thrown into chaos by the group and are in desperate need of humanitarian support. In remarks at a UN Security Council briefing, U.S. Ambassador to the UN Samantha Power spoke of the horror she heard from individuals when she visited regional camps serving those who had fled Boko Haram's violence, the looting and burning of homes, the murder of men and boys, the rape and abduction of women and girls. A robust military effort against Boko Haram is critical, said Ambassador Power. The multinational joint task force, composed of units from Benin, Cameroon, Chad, Niger, and Nigeria, is playing a growing role in improving coordination between countries, as well as in planning and intelligence sharing. These efforts have produced important gains in recent months, including freeing thousands of hostages, destroying dozens of terrorist camps, and recovering around 75% of the territory Boko Haram once controlled. Ambassador Power emphasized that the military fight against Boko Haram must also include respect for human rights. Ambassador Power applauded the European Union and the United Kingdom for their contributions to the multinational joint task force, noting that the U.S. has supported the force with more than $71 million of assistance, including advisors, logistics support, and non-lethal equipment. She urged other member states to step up and support this critical effort. Ambassador Power stressed that in addition to strengthening the military operation, much more is needed to address the dire humanitarian situation. In the last 2 years, the U.S. provided more than $281 million in humanitarian aid for the countries affected by Boko Haram, but they remain grossly underfunded. There are 2.5 million people displaced within their nations and some 150,000 pushed beyond their borders. A key point, more than 90% of displaced people have been taken in by extended family members, a testimony to the goodness and altruism alive in the region, even as it is beset by Boko Haram's brutal evil. Now is the time, said Ambassador Power, for the international community to step up and assist the suffering people of the Lake Chad Basin region, to empower the good and defeat the evil of Boko Haram.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.